This series will hopefully take us a while. I'm going to give an introduction today, but it's going to be on the laws of Shabbos. But it's not just going to be the laws of Shabbos. I really want to delve into the Gemaras, which deal with the laws of Shabbos. So I'm not just going to be telling you, you could do this, you can't do that. But I really want to get into the nitty-gritty of what's the ideas behind it, behind the laws of the halachos of Shabbos. And we're going to start with the lametes halachos, the 39 categories of prohibitions that exist on Shabbos. And hopefully after, I'm going to give an introduction this week, but afterwards we're going to go through each one individually. And depending on the malacha, on that act of the prohibition, it'll take us however long it takes us. Some will take longer than others, depending on how much Gemara there is on it, on the practical applications. We will go through the practical applications. So they'll hopefully this will take time, and if we get bored of it, so then we'll go to a different topic. But this should be very interesting, and this is very applicable. The Mishnah Berurah in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos says that you have to learn these laws because it's your fault for not learning these laws. If you don't learn it, so then everyone, it's just so easy to violate a law on Shabbos without actually learning it. It's just everything we do. There are ways to get out of it. For every prohibition, there's a way to get out of it, but you have to know what you could do and what you can't do. And so you have to know it. Otherwise, it's very easy to, on every single Shabbos, to do something which is wrong.
Oh, and just to put in a plug for the Mishnah Berurah class in the morning.
The Mishnah Berurah class is
important to Shabbos laws, I think.
Bishul, you're starting Bishul soon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so Everybody said that everybody should come. If you're going to come ever to Mishnah Berurah.
So BTLC right now is focusing on the Shabbos. That's our focus. Just to point out, I wanted to mention this last time. I'm also going to be giving this Thursday night. Not the same thing, but it's going to be complimentary. So you don't have to go to both. Just you can go to one. You can go to both if you want. It'll be different. It'll be very, but it'll work off what we're doing on Mondays. But you won't be losing out if you miss that class.
It's at the Beit HaMidrash?
In Beit HaMidrash. That'll be in Beit HaMidrash. Yeah.
How does it work? It's complimentary, but it's not.
I'll try to make it that you'll be able to. Those who go to Monday and Thursday it won't be repetitive. It'll be something new. But those who just come to one and not the other one, they won't realize that they're missing out. There's so much there. There's so much information that's there that what I'm teaching you is not everything, and what I'm teaching on Monday and Thursday is not everything. Everything that I learned is not everything. So there's so much out there that.
Okay.
I'll try to make it work. If it doesn't work, then we have to stop it. But we'll see. We'll see if that works. Okay, so I wanted to give an introduction to the 39 categories. There are 39 categories. So let's start from the beginning and see where this takes us. There are various psukim in the Torah, verses in the Torah, which tell us that you're not allowed to do work on Shabbos. I just quoted one of them. The one that I quoted is in Parshas Vayakel. Shesis yamim tasa melacha, 6 days during the week, the first 6 days you are allowed to, or you should do, work. Uvayom Ashvi, and on the seventh day, Yilachem Kodesh, it should be to you a holy day. Shabbos Shabbason LaHashem, it's a day of rest, of complete rest to Hashem. Kol Ha'osa Bo Malacha, anybody who does work, Yumas, is deserving of the death penalty. That's assuming that there are witnesses there, two witnesses who warn the person, but then they're deserving of death. So it says, Kol Ha'osa Bo Malacha, anybody who does work is deserving of death. So what's the big question here?
What is work?
Excellent, Taz. What is work? How do you define malacha? How do you define work? What is work? Any suggestions as to what work is?
Well, from this it would seem anything that God did when he created.
Where did you get that from?
Where
did you get that from?
He's looking at Sheshes Yaman Tasa Malacha.
Well, that's us. That's not Hashem.
Yeah. Because the 6 days he's talking about is the 6 days of creation. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you're not just coming from this verse itself. You're applying other psukim, other verses in the Torah to this. What you're saying is very good. I wanted to conclude with what you're saying, but you're not letting me do that. So you want to say that the malacha, the work that is prohibited, is the work that what? That God did for creation? You're saying it's the work that God did during creation is that which God did is prohibited.
We don't know.
So like we can't make the sun or the moon.
Yeah.
You can't make the sun.
Well, we can't do that anyway, so it's...
from this pasuk, we can't know.
We can't know from this pasuk. Or it's parallel to what God did in terms of creating the world. Which is an interesting idea. We'll get to that in hopefully by the end. So right now, from this pasuk, it's really difficult to know what malacha, what work is. It seems to be pretty difficult. I think at first glance, which also refers when he points this out, many have thought to say that if you just read this pasuk without going into the oral law and going into the Gemara, so you would think that what is work? What do most people think work is?
Yeah, sweating.
Anything you
sweating,
make
exactly. Sweating, yeah, toiling.
Toiling.
The opposite of rest. You would think it's the opposite of rest. What's rest? Rest is to chill out and not do anything. Right? And work is the opposite. That's to toil. So that's exactly what Rav Hirsch says, what many people thought. I'll just read this quickly. And misleading people have distorted the entire concept of Shabbos and subverted the laws of Shabbos observance by interpreting malacha as work and toil. One second.
Just come up with a better translation.
Of malacha?
Yeah. That's what throws people off all the time.
You're saying why does it throw people off?
No, why throws people off?
You're saying why did the Torah
translation as calling malacha work? So you get people asking the same questions all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work? How does this not work?
No, but they were also using it from the word malacha. I mean, they weren't using it from it.
You should know the Rav Hirsch deals with your question.
Right,
Rav Hirsch deals with your question, and he brings various proofs. He brings various proofs that the word malacha throughout Tanakh does not mean to toil,
right?
And work.
Of course.
It means, he's going to explain it, we'll get to it at the end, it means being creative.
But to a person who didn't speak English, but to a person who was reading the Hebrew at some point, would have malacha meant to them like what work means to us in English?
But the only reason for that is just because we're not experts in Lashon HaKodesh. We know just the common way people talk in terms of in Hebrew, what malacha is defined. Nowadays, colloquially, malacha means to work hard, to toil, to sweat.
Uh-huh.
But that's just colloquially. But in terms of what Lashon HaKodesh, in terms of what Hebrew, the definition of malacha is, it might be something else.
If you were going to write a translation on this pasuk, Rabbi, would you write work or would you write creative work or something else?
In the end, we'll see that. I think that I would assume that it's creative work. I would assume. We'll get there. We'll get there. We're just starting. Right now, we don't know exactly what malacha means, how to define what is work. So we'll get there. Okay, so there are two Gemaras that deal with how to interpret this word malacha, this word work. So one Gemara I left out. We just can't do everything right now. And then there is this other Gemara in Bava Kamma. This is in source 2. Gemara in Bava Kamma says as follows: Ulu Rabbi Lezer de Mechayev atolda b'makom av. Amai kari li av v'amai kari li tolda. So this requires a little bit of a background. The English is also provided. Within the 39 malachos, the 39 prohibitive actions, there's something called an av and a tolda. An av is the general category. An av is that general category called an av. Those are the 39. The 39 are the 39 avos, the 39 general categories. And then you have something which is called a tolda. A tolda is a subcategory. Within each one of the 39 primary categories, you have many subcategories. And both of them, for each of them, one is, they have the same laws, according to Rabbi Lezer. You get the death penalty for both, and they have the same exact things. So the Gemara is asking, if they have the same exact things, why is an av called an av? Why is the primary category called the primary category, and the subcategory called the subcategory? Why have any distinction? Why do we have 39 categories? Let us have 1,000 categories. Why do we have 39 categories, and then within each category it's divided up into subcategories if the law is exactly the same?
The question is, why is this one, like, there are 39 categories, but why is the av called a particular, like, they could all be components of that av without a single one being, like, each one of them is an individual kind of work, like,
what do you mean? The question is, what is the definition of an av? If an av and a tolda have the same exact halachos, so what is that definition of an av such that it makes it the primary category,
yes,
that there are then subcategories?
Like, why don't we just have 500 major.
Yeah, why do we? What does it mean?
No, that's not the question in the Gemara.
It's not why don't we have 500? It's just if they have the same exact laws, so what?
Why is one called?
Why is one called an av, a primary category, and one called a subcategory? Yes.
That one as opposed to any of the other subcategories.
Yes. Yeah. Let the subcategory be a primary, and then we'll have, instead of 39, we'll have 40 or 50.
What?
Meaning, once you define what a category is, then it's limited to 39. I'm asking the same question in two different ways. But once you have defined the category, okay, so now I see that there are only 39 of them. But if I define a category as something else, so then I could have 50 of them or 60 of them.
Categories are abstract. The question is, why was this like told to label the av of the category?
Because if it wasn't labeled as the av, so then I would have the tolda be the av.
Sure.
Like then I would have more.
You could pick any
then
one of the
tolda. More than 39.
You could pick any one of the toldas. Why did you pick this one to elevate it, to give that one the name of the av?
I don't know if that's the question.
I mean, that's the answer. So that's the question.
I don't think so. We'll read the answer in a second. But
is it possible that there's different, although they both get put to death, is it different kinds of death?
No, it's the same thing. They have, according to this opinion, it has the same exact laws applied to both.
Yeah.
So the question is really just, why is one defined as a main category, and why are others defined as subcategories? For each main primary category, you have multiple subcategories. So the Gemara says, gives an answer which is extremely vague. Extremely vague, and we'll give at least three different interpretations for this one line, and that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to try to analyze this one line. So the Gemara answers as follows, and you have the English in front of you also. Hach dahave b'mishkon chashiva karilei av, hach delohave b'mishkon chashiva karilei tolda. Now, for those of you who are using the English is giving you probably one. I didn't even read the English, but it's only giving you one interpretation. That's why the English had to translate it. But for me, it's very difficult just to translate this. It's not even a sentence. The literal translation is hach dahave b'mishkon chashiva. That which occurred in the Mishkan, when we had the Mishkan in the desert, important, is called an av, is called the main category. That's not even a sentence. That which is occurred in the Mishkan, important, is called a main category. That which did not occur in the Mishkan, that action which did not occur in the Mishkan, important, just like a comma there, important, is called a tolda, is called a subcategory. So the sentence doesn't really make sense. It says, that which occurred in the Mishkan, important, is called a main category. That which did not occur in the Mishkan, important, is called a tolda, called a subcategory. So it has something to do with the fact that it occurred in the Mishkan and something about something being important.
Mm.
That much we get, right? Something, the Mishkan and something about being important. But what exactly is this sentence telling? What about the Mishkan and what about it being important? Like, what exactly is this sentence saying? So, any suggestions as to how to read this sentence?
This is one of the more essential labors that were necessary to construct the Mishkan, and it becomes one of the Av Malachos, and if it was one of the other Malachos, which was not a primary necessity to the construction of the Mishkan, it becomes a tolda.
So the tolda happened in the Mishkan? That action happened in the Mishkan? That subcategory.
It could be read like this.
Okay, so that's definitely a valid interpretation. That's a very good interpretation. But
what could be an example? Give an example of what could be a significant work and a less significant work.
Like dyeing the skins was one of the malachas that happened in the Mishkan. And since the dyeing the skins is an important part of actually building the Mishkan, you can't do it without the dyeing of the skins, then that becomes an av malacha.
So that's primary.
So that's primary, okay. And in your example, what's lesser?
Lesser, I don't know.
So I'm not sure. Tolda
maybe
dying.
Killing right. The snails to get the dye.
We'll get to it. We'll get to exactly what a tolda is. A tolda, generally a tolda is defined as, just to make things simple, a subcategory is usually a different action which has the same result as that primary category. So let's say the primary category is dying, in this example. So then any parallel action, a different action, which has the same result, would be defined as a subcategory in general.
Be like on Pesach, that's if like you dip your wine onto your napkin, that's dyeing it.
Can potentially, potentially. Smoking a cigarette? Would smoking a cigarette be a tolda?
Would smoking a cigarette, that's also called creating a fire.
So then what, so let's give an example.
So an example of a tolda would be like, I don't know if this is the best example, but an av is to carry from one, you're not allowed to carry
right.
from one, from the private domain to the public domain.
Okay.
We have an Erev, so it doesn't apply, but you're not, and whatever, other reasons also, but you're not allowed to carry from the private domain to the public domain. So that's carrying, if I'm carrying. To pass something from me, if I'm in the private domain and you're in the public domain, for me to give it over to you, or to just place it in the public domain, that is a subcategory. I'm not carrying, I'm not the one holding it and going from the private domain to the public domain. I am merely, I'm staying put. But I'm taking the object and I'm putting it into the public domain. Right? I'm placing that into the public domain. That is called a subcategory. Why? It's a different action. The reason why that object is moving to the public domain is not because I'm moving, I'm staying still. It's because I'm causing the object to move. So the end result is the same, because the object is moving from point A to point B. So that's the end result. Throwing also would also be a subcategory. That wouldn't be the primary category. That would be a subcategory. For me to throw a football from my house to, you know, to the football field, so then that would be a subcategory. For me to carry the football from my house and then I'm walking, so then that would be a primary. Okay? Fine. So this is a great interpretation of, so far we have one interpretation as to what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that how do you define what's a primary category and what's a subcategory? They both took place in the Mishkan. Both of them took place in the Mishkan. For it to be a tolda, it had to take place in the Mishkan. It's just that which was significant, that which is important, is an av, is the primary category. That which is not important is a subcategory.
Why do you think that the tolda occurred in the Mishkan?
Well, that's just one interpretation of the Gemara.
The Gemara doesn't say that it's important, just as that it the Gemara doesn't say that it happened, just as that it wasn't important. But it may have been so unimportant that it didn't happen at all.
No, but it didn't happen, but was important.
You can read the line. You can read the line. Half the law of Mishkan Chashiva. That which did not take place in the Mishkan important can mean that which was not important in the Mishkan,
okay.
But it took place in the Mishkan.
Okay.
You could read the line that way.
Okay,
so that's one interpretation which you're going to see. That's somehow some of the Rishonim understand it. So you were. Chavin, you understood the same thought process as some of the Rishonim. Anybody else could become a Rishon here and try to interpret this line differently, a different way of interpreting this line. Hach the Hav Mishkan Chashiva Kari Le'av, that which happened in the Mishkan
and is important, and we call it an Av.
What?
That which occurred in the Mishkan, it Chashiva is important, and we call it an Av. Hav the Lo Hav Ibn Mishkan, that which wasn't in the Mishkan.
It's definitional. Excellent, excellent.
Wait,
I think they're saying the same thing that you're saying.
I got caught up in the
Why is Chashiva in the second one then?
Hach, another way you can read it, which is I think how everybody here is interpreting it. Hach dehava b'mishkan, that which occurred in the Mishkan is definitionally Chashiva. It is important. If it happened in the Mishkan, so then it's important. By definition, the fact that this action took place in the Mishkan means that it's important. And therefore it's called a primary category. Hach de lo ave b'mishkan, that which did not take place in the Mishkan.
Also Chashiva.
What's the Chashiva doing there?
Hach de, I think that's why there's different girsas. I think they say lo Chashiva. There's a girsa which says, Hach de lo ave b'mishkan, lo Chashiva. They have a girsa which says, lo Chashiva. If it did not take place in the Mishkan, so then by definition, it is not important. The way we define whether something is important or not important is whether it happened in the Mishkan or not. If it took place in the Mishkan, then it's important. And if it's important, so then it's called a primary category. It's called an Av. If it did not take place in the Mishkan, so then it's by definition not important, and then it's called a subcategory. It's not the primary category, but it's called a subcategory. So what would be a difference between these two interpretations? Just well, a fundamental one difference. Just fundamentally. Fundamentally.
Yeah. One says.
One is, technically is whether it happened in the Mishnah or not. But fundamentally, there's a fundamental dispute going on here about whether if something happens in the Mishkan is definitionally important or not. According to the first way of interpreting it, you can have an action done in the Mishkan, but it's not important.
Mm.
It's not important. Right. It happened in the Mishkan, but it's not important. And that's what we call a toldah. An av is if it happened in the Mishkan and it's important. According to the second opinion, it's impossible. You cannot have an action done in the Mishkan where it's not important. Definitionally, if it happened in the Mishkan, then it is important. You can't tell me that there was an action which happened in the Mishkan which is not important. No, it's not true. If it happened in the Mishkan, then it has to be, it's defined as important, which is a major distinction between the two, fundamentally.
I think that has to be further clarified there. If it happens in the Mishkan, for the Mishkan, then definitionally.
I think, yeah, you have to say it's for the Mishkan. You have to say it's for the Mishkan.
Because things must have been going on in the Mishkan.
Yeah, they were walking. They were walking, right? Is it prohibited to walk on Shabbos?
Swatting flies in the Mishkan.
What?
Swatting flies out of the Mishkan.
Yes, exactly, yeah. They didn't do such things in such holy places.
Wasn't this for the construction of the Mishkan? Yeah. Not for once.
So there is, I don't want to get into it, but there's a discussion whether it's about for the purpose of constructing the Mishkan or the actions that they did once they had the Mishkan. Is it about the building of the Mishkan, or is it the actions that occurred while they were building the Mishkan, or actions that happened once they had the Mishkan, like the korbanos, the sacrifices that they had, or whatever else took place in the Mishkan? Either way, it's a whole separate. But you're right; it has to deal with actions which were for the purpose of the Mishkan. It's not just, you know, they decided to take a break and do something. But this is a very important distinction right here. Whether if something took place in the Mishkan, is it by definition defined as something which is important? Or that no, it could take place in the Mishkan, but it doesn't have to be important. It doesn't have to be defined as something which is important. Now, if it is definitional, let's say if it happened in the Mishkan and then it's defined as important, so then you have to ask a very strong question. Why is it that whatever happened in the Mishkan is important?
It's the Mishkan.
So what? Why is that halakhically defined as important? If it's for the... That's the... When I talk about work, what is viewed as important work and not important work? Why is it that whatever happened in the Mishkan is defined as important? What's the connection between the Mishkan and defining work as important? I could do something for the Mishkan. I could build the Mishkan. I have to build the Mishkan. So I have to... One of the malachas is bona, construction, building. So I had to build the boards because I had to build the Mishkan. But just because it took place in the Mishkan, why is that defined as important? I think other work is important. I think whatever it is, being a mathematician is important. I think being a scientist is important. Why is building important? I don't think building is important. Why is it that whatever happened in the Mishkan is defined as important?
And then why is what was done in the Mishkan... Why is that the determining factor about what is allowed on Shabbat and what's not?
Oh, another great question. Why was what happened in the Mishkan?
Isn't that because...
Yeah, I think that question is really for the first category.
Right.
Because according to the second interpretation, what happened in the Mishkan is defined as important. Okay, so then at least I know that what the melacha, the activities that are forbidden, that definition of the category is that which is important. Mishkan equals important. So then the question is, why is the Mishkan important? Why is whatever happened in the Mishkan defined as important? According to the first interpretation...
But what I'm really wondering is, okay, so where do we get from this pasuk, right, when they're talking about a malacha, and how do we get down to, in the Gemara, when they're defining the malacha as... Did they even mention malacha here in
no, malacha is not even mentioned. Malacha is not even mentioned here.
Right. So then, but where do we get that? That's the definition of malacha.
That's a great question. Also, where do we get that? This is
the context of when we got the laws of Shabbos. It was in the context of at the same time receiving the jobs for the Mishkan.
Okay, you're already ahead of the game here.
Wow.
There's also the No, you're right. We're gonna get to that. But we'll get to that in a minute. You're right. You're 100% right.
Is there the idea that there is no malacha that isn't one of the 39 avos from the Mishkan? Like, if we were going to sit here for 100 years and try and think of something that wouldn't fit into one of the 39 categories, it wouldn't be able to.
Everything has to fit into the 39 malachos? Then you can't do anything on Shabbos.
No, that's not true. Anything that's... Any malacha. I don't think you could call something malacha. Like, sitting here can't be called malacha. Anyways,
the question is how you define what malacha is. Why is sitting any different than building?
Change of states, but
That's already, I don't know, who said that that's the definition of malach, of work? The question is, what's the definition of this one word? That's the big question here. How do you define malacha? So let's just review what we had so far and the questions that we had. We're having a lot of questions here, and it's very important. So we have the word malacha. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to do work. The question is, what is work? Right, that's the question. So we know that there are 39 categories of work. So the Gemara says, well, who decided what falls under this category as the primary category and not? So far we had two different interpretations of the Gemara. One interpretation says that, well, if it happened in the Mishkan, and it's important, so then it's part of that 39. You have to have two qualifications. It had to happen in the Mishkan, and it had to be important. So according to that interpretation, you have two questions. Well, what defines important? Which I don't necessarily have an answer to. And then the second question is, who cares about what happened in the Mishkan? Why do we care about what happened in the Mishkan? Right? There's two qualifying factors in order to be called a primary category. It had to happen in the Mishkan and it has to be important. So then the question is, well, why do I care that it happened in the Mishkan? And how do I define what's important and what's not important? Right? Those are the two questions. According to the second interpretation that we had in the Gemara, we're going to have three in total. According to the second interpretation that we had in the Gemara, what happened in the Mishkan is definitionally viewed as important. And so if it happened in the Mishkan, so then it's a primary category. And if it didn't happen in the Mishkan, so then it's a subcategory. So if it happened in the Mishkan, then it's defined as important. So then the question that we had in the first explanation of why do we care about the Mishkan, so we have an answer to that. Why do we care about what happened in the Mishkan? That defines what's important. I can have a second question though. Why is it that what happens in the Mishkan is defined as important? I understand. Whatever happens in the Mishkan, so the question that we had in the first explanation is, why do we care about what happens in the Mishkan? I have an answer to. It tells us what is important. But the question is, how do I get from point A to point B? Why is it that whatever happened in the Mishkan is defined as important? Who cares about the Mishkan to define it as important? Okay, so we have, those two are two interpretations. Anybody have any questions on this so far? We're good? Okay, so can anybody think of a third? So far these are two interpretations that the Rishonim give for this Gemara. Can anybody think of a third interpretation? This is a little bit more difficult, this third interpretation. This third interpretation is actually the first one that Tosfos gives. But it's a little difficult because you have to lab dafka. You have to read between the lines a little bit. Third interpretation of this one line. Haftah Mishkan, that which happened in the Mishkan, important, is called an av, and that which didn't happen in the Mishkan, important, is called a tolda.
It could be read that the chashiva is an adjective for Mishkan. Like there's the two Mishkanim, like there's the chashiva Mishkan and the non-chashiva Mishkan.
There were two Mishkans?
No. You're asking me a third way to read it?
That's a pretty good way to read it, except for lock.
A third way to read it could be... things that happened in the Mishkan, the work done in the Mishkan, that was important to the building of the Mishkan is Av. And things that weren't done in the Mishkan, but nonetheless somehow are important, are going to be the subcategories. So therefore, if something not done in the Mishkan wasn't important, it's not even in a subcategory. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Say that again. If you're right. But say it again.
Oh, man.
See, I give the fourth.
You might be wrong in a minute, but you're right.
So something done in the Mishkan that we for some reason deem important is going to be an av. Something that wasn't done in Mishkan, but that for some reason we somehow deem important is going to be in the subcategories, which would imply that there could be things that weren't done in the Mishkan that we don't deem important. They're not even going to be in the subcategories.
That implies that things that were done in the Mishkan that were not important
are not even told us.
They're not referred to in the way I'm describing.
There's also the important things that were not done in the Mishkan.
Whether they were done in the Mishkan or not.
You're saying important things that were not done in the Mishkan are still becoming the toldos.
Yeah.
But if it was...
It switches around. To look first, let's say what's important. Let's stop things that are important. Now, which ones of those were done in the Mishkan? Those are the odds. Which ones of those were not done in the Mishkan? Those are the subcategories. Anything else that wasn't, it's not important, we're not talking about here. Makes sense to me.
It switches
what we look at first, whether it's important or not.
Important acts are malacha, and then there's avs and todos.
Right. They told us were important, but they weren't in the Mishkan. But they're still told us because they're important.
In the end of the day... Even so, but in the end of the day, is there any difference with our first interpretation? Meaning, in the end of the day...
Our first interpretation was unimportant things done in the Mishkan or told us, yeah?
Yeah.
You're saying important but not done in the Mishkan via told them.
Yeah. It's almost the plain meaning of how you read it tersely.
Yeah.
Or it's indicted by. Right?
That doesn't meet the definition of what is a malacha.
What?
Because malacha, it has to be done in the Mishkan.
It kind of begs the question because it just says things are important, but we don't yet know why we're going to call things important.
Well, no, because it says Mishkan, but like we have the criteria of hachta have Mishkan and hachta lo have Mishkan over here. So just lo have Mishkan. Things that aren't in the time of the Mishkan but are important.
But you wouldn't know yet how we would deem something to be important enough.
Right. But it could be that, I mean, if your interpretation is reasonable and it would just imply that there are not everything that is important is done in the Mishkan. That's okay. I think.
Right.
So it's an interesting way that you're reading this. That is not the way that the Rishonim read it, but it is an interesting way. The third way that they read it is that they basically, it's hard to try to get it to it because they basically take out the word Mishkan here. And basically, hach tahave, let's just take out the word Mishkan for a second. Hach tahave chashiva, that which is important is called a primary category. Hach tahave chashiva, that which is not important is called a subcategory. So if it's important, it's a primary category. It's a primary. Mm. And if it's not important, it's a subcategory, which is... So then it falls under being a subcategory. So this is very simple. Instead of having... According to the first explanation, we have two factors to become an av. It has to be important and done in the Mishkan. According to the second explanation, anything done in the Mishkan is defined as important. According to the third interpretation, forget about Mishkan. Ignore Mishkan for now. But if it's defined as important, so then it's called a primary category. If it's not defined as important, it's defined as a subcategory. It's just whether it's important or not. Oh, you're going to ask me, but it says the word Mishkan. So how could you ignore the word Mishkan? So this is asked by the later commentators. How could you just ignore the word Mishkan? So they give a few explanations. The best explanation that I, according to what I saw, is Mishkan is just there to tell you that hach tahave b'mishkan, important and not important when? What time period are we talking about? Work changes. The importance of work changes from generation to generation. What's important now is different than what was important in the previous generation. What time period are we talking about in terms of if we have to have set standards with regards to the laws of Shabbos, it can't change from generation to generation. So what is defined as important and not important when? In the time of the Mishkan. Hach tahave b'mishkan chashiva. That which was important in the times of the Mishkan, kari le'av, is called an av. Hach delo ave b'mishkan chashiva, but that which wasn't important in the times of the Mishkan, Karele told him. That's called a subcategory. So Mishkan is not talking about whether it was performed in the Mishkan or not, but it's giving you the time period for defining an act as important or not important. Wow. So those are the three different interpretations for this one line. So we'll review the three interpretations and then we'll go on.
Can I just ask you a question? For both avs, according to this, then
according to this third interpretation?
No, I'm not according to these interpretations. But pre-existing all three of these interpretations is the understanding that received at Mount Sinai was told us in avs that there was already these distinctions. Like
we're gonna get to that in a minute. That question was asked earlier. How do you get from malacha work to our whole discussion about happening in the Mishkan, not happening in the Mishkan, whether it's important or not important? We'll get to that in a minute.
There was two categories to begin with. You understand what I'm saying? Not just...
The concept of two categories, you would have to say, comes from... It was part of the oral law at Har Sinai. You would have to say something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have the benefit of being able to read and understand the Hebrew, but the interpretation, it says quite clearly that those activities performed in the Mishkan, I don't know how that could possibly be interpreted as in the time of the Mishkan, which is what that
thing is. The reason is because you're reading a translation. You got to go to
you're reading
the English had to translate it to make sense a certain way.
Right. Even if so, maybe it's a stretch in the Hebrew as well, or in the Aramaic as well.
I don't know. Like half, the literal translation of half the Hava Mishkan is not even
that which in the Mishkan.
I'm not necessarily bothered to define half the Hava Mishkan. That which happened b'Mishkan can mean in the time when the Mishkan. I don't necessarily.
It's the third most obvious one. It's the third most obvious. The time.
You think it's the most obvious? No, he just said that it doesn't make sense.
It's the third most obvious. The first two are obvious. The ones we got right away. Okay, that translation could be read that.
Yeah.
The time is, it's not obvious. It's reading between the lines, like you said.
It is.
When you said it makes sense.
Hebrew prepositions are sometimes...
It's hard. They're vague. They're vague.
Yeah.
And also, this is a mix between Hebrew and Aramaic. So even so, it makes it even harder to clearly define. Anyway, so just to review the... To review the three interpretations, and then we'll try to go further. I would like to, if we have time, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to do it now, but if we have time, I'll read it inside Tosfos. Tosfos discusses all these different three interpretations. We did it outside. I'm only going to go back if we have time. I'd like to show it to you inside. That Tosfos says the three ideas that two of them we came up with, the third one we came close to. Your explanation was pretty close to this third one, not exactly, but a little close. I want to say that everyone got. I want to have everyone come up with the three that the Rishonim got. So. Okay, so what are the three? The first one was that in order to be defined as a primary category, it had to have two qualifying factors. One is that it was performed in the Mishkan, and the second one is that it's important. Which means that what happens in the Mishkan does not necessarily mean that it's important. Two separate independent things. Mm. The second interpretation is that. Just one idea. If it happened in the Mishkan, then it's an av. Why? Because it's definitionally important. But you just need one. There's one factor that's necessary to be called a primary category of forbidden action, which is that it has to be performed in the Mishkan. If it was performed in the Mishkan, it's definitionally important. And the question that we had is why? What's the connection between the Mishkan and being important? And then the third interpretation is that it has nothing to do with the Mishkan. It's just about whether it's important or not important. Oh, so what about the Mishkan? The Mishkan is just telling you that over time, activities, whether the importance of activities, change. So we're going to go based on the time period of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is just telling you about a time period, not about the actions done in the Mishkan, but during that time period when they were in the desert, when they got the Torah, so then those actions that were important are going to be defined forever as important actions which are forbidden, as the primary category. Okay, so those are the three interpretations. So now let's turn the page here. We're going to skip Tosfos for now.
It wasn't just for the time in the desert, because the Mishkan.
The Mishkan was for over 300 years. I thought it was close to 400 years.
400, yeah.
It was over 400 years. No, it's true. It's true. So I'm not exactly sure over those 400 years, according to this interpretation, what period would we define? Would we say? Was all activity the same level of importance for 400 years? I don't know if that's the case or not. It's possible that the Mishkan is just talking about... The Mishkan itself is referring to the building of the Mishkan, so it could just be at the initial building, the time that we were in the desert. Anyway. So where do we get... So let's go back to the question of where do we get from the word melacha to this whole discussion? From the word just work, where do we get this from? So Rashi already in the Torah... says that there's a certain connection between the command to keep Shabbos and building of the Mishkan. Rashi says, "Hektim lahem azhar Shabbos letzivim melachas haMishkan." They mentioned the command to keep Shabbos is right before the building of the Mishkan. Lomar she'eino doches haShabbos, to tell us that there's a certain connection between the two, to tell us that it is not Docha Shabbos, that you're not allowed to work on Shabbos to build the Mishkan. So there's a certain connection, what we call Smichos HaParshios, the connection between the Parshios of the laws of Shabbos, the giving of the laws of Shabbos, and the building of the Mishkan. And that's what Rashi says. And beyond that, the Gemara, which is also the other Gemara which I didn't quote here, maybe we might discuss this on Thursday, but there's another Gemara which says explicitly that the reason why we care about what happened in the Mishkan, according to the Gemara, at least according to the first two explanations, is because the Torah specifically connected the laws of Shabbos, the giving of the laws of Shabbos, to the building of the Mishkan, it's there to tell us that which happened in the Mishkan is going to help us define the word Malacha. Malacha is going to be defined based on what happens right after that Pasuk. Right after that Pasuk, we have the building of the Mishkan. And the reason why they're connected, the reason why one follows from the other, is to tell us that it's defining the word Malacha. Malacha, work, is going to be defined by the activities which happened in the Mishkan. Okay? So now that answers one question. What's the importance of the Mishkan? We'll get to a little bit in Machshava towards the end, why. But the what is the fact that the Torah connected the laws of Shabbos to the building of the Mishkan. That tells us that the way we define Malacha is from the Mishkan. So then why does it have to be important? What's the connection to important? Or Chashuv, what's that connection? So in the building of the Mishkan, there's an important pasuk. And we're going to come up to this for the next couple months, we're going to come back to this concept. If you look now at source 5 here, the pasuk says, "Ubacharush is oven lemalos ubacharush is eitz." This is with regards to cutting the stones and to cutting the wood. "Lasos b'chol melechas machsheves." To work in every kind of designer's craft. I wouldn't even, the English, I would question the simple translation of the English in terms of b'chol melechas machsheves. B'chol melechas machsheves is not necessarily the designer's craft. Melechas machsheves, just the simple translation of that is thoughtful work. Melechas machsheves, or important work. Either thoughtful work, either or skilled, that could be an interpretation. It's a little broad. Melechas machsheves is the machsheves comes from the word of chashuv. So that could either mean important, or that can mean thoughtful. In terms of machshava, that a thought. So it's a little vague in terms of what that is. But that happened in terms of the building of the Mishkan. From this word, the Melechas Machsheves, we say that with regards to the laws of Shabbos also, it has to be Melechas Machsheves. It has to be important. So where did the Gemara that we had earlier in Baba Kama, say that it deals with Mishkan and Chashuv, so where do they get the concept that work has to be important? I wouldn't even use the word important. I would say Chashuv doesn't necessarily mean important. When the Gemara in Baba Kama said Chashuv, Chashiva, it's referring back to the Pasuk by the Mishkan of Melechas Machsheves. So it might not even work. The word that we use until now of important might be correct, but it might not be correct. Machsheves could be thoughtful also. Yeah. It could be thoughtful, it could be important, it could be intentional or skilled.
Deliberate.
Yeah. Right now it's unclear exactly what Chashuv is, but... Whoa. But it has to be, whatever chashuv, it has to be chashuv. It has to be fill in the blank, however way we define what that is. Just to give you a couple of examples of how we define it, unklus. How does unklus define it? He defines it more similar to how the English translation is, wherever I got this translation from. B'chol malachas mashavas, b'chol avidas umnun. B'chol avidas umnun means professional work.
Umnun.
Umnus in Aramaic means a professional, an umman. Is somebody who's a professional. So how do we define Malachas Machsheves? It means a professional. It's skilled professional work. So when I go back to the Gemara Baba Kama and it says the word Chashiva, what does that mean? It doesn't mean it's not just important, but it's more specific than just important. It means skilled. It means done by a professional. It's not just something which is important, but it's done by a professional.
Which is Unklus's, what source number are you on now?
Six. Unklus is six, sorry. Six.
That's Unklus, okay.
Yeah.
Can I just, I think that the design, the English translation in the fifth one is actually, for me, kept better because I think designer implies to me something where the person who's making, it's not just that it's like a skilled labor or somebody's like done a course to do it, but that there's a certain kind of artistic flair to it.
That's not what the unklus means.
Well,
no,
that would be different. That would be different.
I'm saying that the fifth one for me.
Yeah. The problem is that the translation was probably written by don't know, somebody from our times that was just not really, I don't know if they were thinking, I don't know.
Too much, thinking, I don't designer's know. Craft.
It sort of sounds like it's...
But it fits, it does, no, it does fit the translation. It does fit the, it's an open and it's a vague phrase. The phrase Melechus Machshavas is vague in terms of what it means.
They're saying
so that would fit it. Designer's craft would fit.
They're saying Machshev is the is sorry, but it's a noun. It's the designer. The Malacha of the Machshevis. The Machshevis is like the person in that translation.
It's the action of the designer. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. We're reading it the other way, which is like a thoughtful Malacha. A Malacha that is Machshavas is with intentional.
Potentially,
thought.
That's another way of interpreting it. Uh-huh. That's another way of interpreting it. Unklus understands it as professional work. And now another interpretation is given by the Rashbam, just to show how this phrase is ambiguous. This word Melechus Machshavas, the Rashbam is also one of the Rishonim. This is in the last source here, in source 7. The Rashbam is just he's commenting on a certain Gemara here. He says, "B'Masechta Shabbos Tanan," he says that we have a Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos, Melechus Machshavas, "Hamotzi Ochlin Chayev Begrogeres." If you carry, to carry, you're not just, on a biblical level, one has not violated Shabbos if they carry a very small amount. It has to be a significant amount. So with regard, and significant is different for, depending on the item that you're carrying. So with regards to food, you have to carry a fig's worth. That's defined as something which is of significance. Why? The Bishabas Melechas Machshavas Asr Torah. The Rashbam uses the same language as the pasuk. Melechas Machshavas Asr Torah. Velo Chashiva Hotzas Davar Chashav B'Pachas Migorgaris. And something which is less than a fig's worth is not viewed as what?
Davar Chashav.
As important, as significant. Not about. He uses that phrase not in with regards to something which is professional. This has nothing to do with whether to carry out a fig's worth or not. It's nothing to do with professional's work. It has to do with
the size
has to do with whether it's important or not, whether it's of value. So the Rashbam's interpretation of Melechus Machshavas is not like Unklus about being a designer or being professional, but it's about being something of significance. And I'm not saying the two necessarily argue. They could be just various different interpretations, and they could all be correct. And the Torah perhaps specifically used a vague language to imply different ideas. But we have different interpretations of the word Melechus Machshavas. So now to bring everything together. How much time do we have? 8 minutes. So we had in the Gemara and Bava Kamma. So let's go through each one of the interpretations that we had. The first explanation that we gave for that one line, that one very important line, is that you need, in order to be defined as an Av, as that general category of the 39 general categories, it has to be both done in the Mishkan, and it has to be, I'm not even going to use the word important, it has to be Choshev, it has to be Melechus Machshavas. So why does it have to be done in the Mishkan? Because that's because of the connection in the, found in the Torah. It has to be done in the Mishkan because of the connection in the Torah. And why does it have to be Choshev? Why does it have to be Melechus Machshavas? Whatever that means.
That's also found.
Because that's found in the Mishkan. And since it was found in the Mishkan, the, what they did in the Mishkan was Melechus Machshavas, so too for Shabbos, it has to be something which is Melechus Machshavas, whether that means that it was done by a professional, whether it's of significance or thoughtful, all different ways of interpreting that phrase. But that's what that word in the Gemara and Baba Kamma, that's what it means. When you read the Gemara and Baba Kamma without knowing all this, you run right through it. Chashav just means important. You wouldn't think about it. But now that we know that it's coming back to what happened in the Mishkan, which is Melechus Machshavas, so there's different ways to interpret the phrase Melechus Machshavas. Okay, so that's the first interpretation. The second interpretation is to tell us that which happened in the Mishkan is definitionally important. According to this explanation, it has nothing to do with Melechus Machshavas. Right? We're not talking about Melechus Machshavas. It's just purely the connection between the fact that in Shabbos and Mishkan are connected, they're found in the same place. So just definitionally, whatever happened in the Mishkan is defined as important, which we'll get to, we'll end off with this. In 1 minute, what does it mean that it's important, that it's defined as important? And here, Chashev clearly would mean important. And then according to the third explanation, it has nothing to do with the Mishkan, and it's purely about it being Chashev, about it being Melechus Machshavas, whatever that means. But not about the Mishkan. The fact that the Mishkan and Shabbos are connected are only there to tell you that we care about the phrase Malachas Machsheves, which is found in the Mishkan. That phrase Malachas Machsheves, that in the Mishkan they did things as through Malachas Machsheves, through constructive, thoughtful designer. That's what we learn from the Mishkan to Shabbos. But the fact that it was done in the Mishkan, that we don't care about, according to the third explanation. The connection to the Mishkan is just for that one phrase. But what happened in the Mishkan, that we don't care about. We care about the time period. That's what we mentioned before. That has to be during that time period. But you had a question.
Well, but no, actually, but in a way, the third and the first one could be argued as the same thing, because you could say that at that time period of the Mishkan, everything that was skilled labor, by definition, had to be skilled labor, because it was all they were doing was building the Mishkan at that time. Okay? I mean,
no, but according to the first explanation, you could have something done in the Mishkan which is not viewed as important. Which is not viewed as important.
Okay.
I would say a little different. I would say that the interpreter 2 and 3 basically cancel each other out. They're mutually destructive.
No, 2 and 3 are very different. 2 means that whatever happened in the Mishkan is definitionally important.
Right. So I'm saying
3 is saying that
in the Mishkan,
we don't care about what happened in the Mishkan.
Right. But I'm saying the two are destructive of each other.
No, they're not. They could be consistent.
They could also.
What do you mean they're destructive of each other?
Because if by definition it has to happen, according to interpretation number 2, it has to happen in the Mishkan, and according to explanation number 3, there's no such thing as in the Mishkan, it's only during the time period of the Mishkan.
Yeah.
So, if 2 is right, 3 cannot be.
Not true.
Well, most probably they're different.
Because 2 requires there to be work done in the Mishkan. And three
well, you one could have said that in the Mishkan, in the times of the Mishkan, the only thing which was important were the things that also took place in the Mishkan.
Exactly.
Like, I could argue that. I could argue otherwise also, like what you're saying, that. They're not mutually exclusive. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. I could have said in the times of the Mishkan, the only thing which is defined as important is whatever took place in the Mishkan. But then I wouldn't phrase it as whatever happened in the times of the Mishkan. I would just say whatever took place in the Mishkan. I just want to conclude with this. Why is it, according to the first explanation, according to the first two explanations, now ignoring the third explanation, according to the first two explanations, the first explanation says that what was performed in the Mishkan is of value. It might not define what's important. It might not define chashuv, but it's of importance with regards to being part of the general category. According to the second explanation, it's even further than that. Whatever took place in the Mishkan is defined as important.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitional. So why is it that whatever happened in the Mishkan is definitional? And we'll conclude with this. So if you go to the last page, this is Rav Hirsch. I'm quoting from Rav Hirsch here in source 9. The building of the Mishkan, if not from the point of view of art, still surely from the point of view of the idea and the purpose to be realized by the idea. I can repeat that line if you want me to. Surely from the point of view of the idea and the purpose to be realized by the idea, and they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell among them, is the very highest conceivable plan for human artistic activity. The mastery of man over matter, in getting, producing, changing, manufacturing the raw materials of the world, attained its highest meaning in the temple. Basically, the work done in the Mishkan, all that physical work, attained its highest level by making that Mishkan holy, making it Kadosh. The world submits to man for him to submit himself and his world to God, and for him to change this earthly world into a home for the kingdom of God, to a temple in which the glory of God tarries on earth. The building of the temple is a sanctification of human labor, and in the context here, it is represented as being a combination of all those creative activities of man. Everything that happened in the Mishkan is by definition what is creative of man. By the cessation of which, by resting from work, Shabbat is made into an acknowledgement of man's allegiance to God. The definition of important is what happened in the Mishkan. Because what happened in the Mishkan is the highest level of creativity, whereby we take the mundane, and that was the point in time where we took everything and we worked and we took the mundane and we made it holy. We created the Mishkan, we created a mini sanctuary, which will ultimately change into becoming our Beis HaMikdash, our holy temple. And so that is definitionally what is defined as creative. And so that's what we're allowed to do during the 6 days, but on the seventh day, that we rest from all those activities. Because we say that that's creative. We have to rest, just like Hashem rested, so we are We are saying we're like Hashem. We're saying that creative activities which we do during the week, we're going to rest from that and remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, is the one that created the world, and He allowed us to perform these creative activities. And so that fits in perfectly with the second idea, and I think also part of the first idea, to say that whatever happened to the Mishkan is by definition what is viewed as important. The fact that in the Mishkan we were able to take the mundane and make it into something which is holy, that was the first time that we did that, so then, or on such a high level as the Jewish people, so then that defines what is important. And then we have to rest from that on Shabbos. And so just to conclude, we had the three different ways of interpreting what it is, what is a general prohibition, whether it was done in the Mishkan or whether it was important, and we saw the where we got that from the connection to the Mishkan in the Torah, and we have this beautiful idea of Rav Hirsch of how we see that whatever was done in the Mishkan is the definition of creativity, and it's from that which we have to rest on Shabbos to show our allegiance to Hashem, to God.
Okay.